Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Church, if you've trusted in Christ, you have everything you need. Church, if you've trusted in Christ, you have a new identity. You're connected to Christ with everything you need. Church, if you've trusted in Christ, all your sins, past, present, and future, big ones, small ones, middle ones, they're all forgiven. Church, if you believe in Christ, you already have the victory.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. When offered a gift of extreme value we couldn't earn for ourselves, we might have a hard time accepting it. Instead, we might try to help cover the bill, share the experience, or simply refuse the gift altogether. But today on Brave, Pastor Jeff challenges us to consider our own response to the greatest gift we'll ever be offered, the gift of Jesus Christ. It's a lesson from our current series, Focused. And if you've missed any part of this ongoing study on the radio, you can catch up at bravemedia.online. Now, let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, as we continue with part 3 of a message titled, Lordship Benefits.
So we're going to take a look at this morning are benefits of Jesus Christ being the Lord of your life. Called it Lordship Benefits. Here's benefit number one. Lordship benefit number one is in Christ you have complete sufficiency. You're completely sufficient in Christ. Second benefit of Jesus Christ being Lord is this. It's Christ-like identity. We've been touching on this already. It's called identity in Christ. It's yours to take ownership of. So here's the question. My question is, where in your life are you still living performance-based Christianity rather than ownership-based identity on who God says you are? It's complete sufficiency. It's Christ-like identity. And now let me give you a third. It's comprehensive forgiveness. I love these verses. Get your eyes on the text. You got to see it for yourself. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us. What do the next three words say? All our transgressions. Whoa. How many sins did he forgive? All. You ever thought about that for a minute? It's comprehensive. Here's what happened on the cross. It was comprehensive forgiveness for everyone who believes. Listen to me. It means if you're not a believer, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. It's available to you to have all your sins forgiven. You just must repent and believe in him, and then he'll take all your sin, and he'll give you all his righteousness. If you are a believer, it means this. All of your sin has already been forgiven. So when I sin, then why do I confess my sin still if it's already been forgiven? Because presently I want to experience the washing of his blood all over me again and again. Amen? And so I'm like, Lord, thanks for your forgiveness. Lord, I messed this up again. I did it wrong. And Lord, I thank you that that's not who I am anymore. And I thank you that I have a new identity. And I thank you I have a new life in you. And I thank you that I'm already set apart. And I thank you that I'm holy. And Lord, I was wrong and that was sinful. And I'm confessing that to you. And I thank you afresh for your forgiveness in my life. You already knew I was going to sin that before I was even created. Praise you, God. Thank you that I have right standing with you and that I'm already complete. You see the difference? See, if you don't have that, what you're going to do is you're going to be like, yeah, I screwed it up again. I'm going to work harder now. When you start saying the words, I'm going to work harder, the devil's got you. Because he knows the Bible as well as you, or better than you, some of you. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You're like, I'm going to work harder. And the devil's like, good, you'll do nothing. And I will keep you trapped and in bondage all the way here. See what I'm saying? Jesus is the debt collector. Let me give you an example. My wife and I were on a date here within the last couple of years. We were eating at a restaurant and we enjoyed our meal. We were having fun together. And at the end of the meal, the server came to bring our bill. And when he came to bring our bill, here's what he said. Just want you to know your bill's already been taken care of. There's somebody that was here in the restaurant tonight that paid for it. And so we started looking around the restaurant to say, well who was it? Are they still here? He's like, they're not here anymore. So if it was you, thanks. Right? Now, if you ever see Kim and I out having a meal and you want to try it again, go ahead. Right? When that happened, I did not reach for my wallet and say, well, I want to pay too. You know, let me chip in some more. That's not fair. I mean, they shouldn't have paid for me. I did nothing to deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn their favor. And they just paid it all. Such a great picture of the cross, isn't it? He paid it all. He didn't pay for dinner. He paid for all of our sins that we would ever sin. He paid for our sin nature that was hostile to him. He gave us life in his name, and it's completely complete, and there's nothing that you need to do to get right with God. It is all forgiven. Amen and amen and amen. And if you don't have that in your life, you can repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, because I'm not talking about religion. Religion won't do anything for you. Religion teaches you when to stand up and when to sit down and what to do and what not to do at church. And if some churches, you know, they're even in Latin, and so you can be like, man, I don't even know what they're talking about, but it was really good and it was important that I went. That does nothing for you. Singing hymns or singing contemporary? Well, what should we do? Do both. Just honor God with your life. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it is. That's the good news of the gospel. You're totally forgiven. Now, let me tell you this. He says he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. I mean, imagine this. Imagine from the time you were born that every time that you sinned, you just got a post-it note and it just started stacking. I mean, how high would that be? I mean, for some of you, you'd be looking beyond the moon to see where that thing was. Right? I mean, just stacks and stacks and stacks. Here's what happened at the cross. He took it all, and it said it was hostile to us. Well, how's it hostile to us? Because if you live in unforgiveness and you think that you're living in unforgiveness, whether it's relationally with another person or with God, and you think there's no way I can get right with him, it will change the way you relate to that person. If you live with God in such a way that I can never please him, I can never get right no matter what I do, it's not good enough. It's different. It's hostile to you. What did he do? He took it all away by doing what? He took all your post-it notes and he nailed them to the cross. All the post-it notes that you hold and the ones that you're going to receive later today and the ones you're going to receive tomorrow. And they've already been nailed to the cross. It's taken away. It's expunged. You're declared not guilty. You're declared righteous. It's who you are. You don't live in unforgiveness anymore. You are completely, comprehensively, totally, 100% forgiven. Is that worthy of praise this morning or what? And it's not by what you even did. It's all that Christ did. And even if you come to the realization that Jesus Christ is Lord, who died for you and rose for you, that wasn't even you either. That was God's grace coming upon you to let you know that you couldn't have found him if he hadn't have come looking for you. He loves you. He cares for you. Forgiveness is yours for anyone that comes to him. He will never turn away. Now, if you get this, it will change your life. Because the question I have for you is this, not do you believe that God has forgiven your sins, but here's my question. Are you living as if your sins were forgiven? I want to be crystal on this because I don't want to move on until you get this. Are you living as if your sins are forgiven? Because for some of you, you know you did something wrong. Usually as Christians, it involves our sexuality, our purity. It involves something to do with money. It involves something to do relationally. It involves something we knew better than and we shouldn't have done it. And we feel scarred or seared in our conscience. And we can know that we're forgiven without living forgiven. See, there's a big difference. One is, I know God forgave my sins and thank God I'm going to heaven and one day it'll all be washed away. Knowing you're forgiven is this, it's already washed away. Praise God, I don't have to hold on to the guilt and shame of that anymore. And yeah, that was disgusting, and yeah, that was wrong, and praise God, I am a new creation, and the old has gone, and behold, all things have been made new. I'm living forgiven right now. See, the devil will lie to you about all of these. When I tell you it's complete sufficiency on the authority of God's word, here's what he'll tell you. No, there's things Pastor Jeff doesn't know about. He's not smart enough. Listen to this person over here that adds things to Jesus. When I tell you about Christ-like identity, he'll say, no, 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 not you, because look at your life and look at how you don't measure up and look at how you're doing, and you don't really have Christ-like identity like other Christians do.
And when I tell you that you're comprehensively forgiven, he'll say, well, you're forgiven. I mean, yeah, God's going to forgive you, but he's so disappointed in you, so upset with you. And you need to say penance a lot more and do some things to get right. No, no, no. You have everything you need in Christ, and if you've trusted him, you have his identity, and you are comprehensively forgiven right now. And if you own that, it leads to number four that Paul is telling us, which may be the best news of all, and that is that the Lordship of Jesus Christ establishes the benefit of current victory. Jesus canceled out your debt. It's done. It's already been paid for. There's nothing you can do to pay for it. And what did it say in verse 15? When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, because we already found out that he did that, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So what happened on the cross? He disarmed all the rulers. Well, who are the rulers? Rulers in heaven and on earth, thrones, dominions, rulers and authorities, all things that were created by him and through him, they're disarmed. Now let's just talk about Satan for just a minute. About 60% of Americans, I read in a study, I'm not talking about just church people, I'm talking about Americans in general, do not believe in a real being, Satan. They believe maybe he's a personification of evil and there's evil in the world, okay? Satan is a real created being. God created him. And something else you need to know about Satan, he's not nearly as powerful as he tells you that he is. God is all authoritative, and then Satan's a created being. Right? He has some power, but it's under the scope and sovereignty of God as to how he can even use it. God is all places at all times. God is all wisdom. God is all knowledge. Satan is not. He doesn't have all wisdom. He can't be in the same place at all times. He can only be in one place because he's not God. Which means this, yes, he has legions of demons, fallen angels that go after him. But the reality, because I'll hear people say this, you know, Satan's tempting me, Satan's doing this. The reality of that is Satan, there's probably none of us in this room that have ever been personally tempted by Satan. But there are demons and those who are under him in rank that have studied your life, that know you, that know everything about you, that tempt you in certain ways. But it's not Satan himself. He can only be in one place at one time. I don't know if Satan's ever tempted me, but I've been tempted by him and his demons, just like all of you have, right? So check out this. Here's what happened at the cross. What we see with our earthly eyes when we read through the Gospels, we see a man, Jesus Christ, the God-man of the universe, who was stripped naked, who was pinned to a cross with nails, who hung there and bled out to death until he breathed his last. And to the world looking on, it looked like a shameful thing, like this Jewish carpenter that just died on a cross in front of just a few people outside of the city gate in Jerusalem. But let me tell you what was happening. When that was going on and Jesus Christ was taking all of the Father's wrath, here's what was going on spiritually. He was disarming all of the rulers, all of the authorities. He was taking away all the power that any of the evil one would ever have against you and whoever else believed in his name. And he was making a public display of them. What looked shameful for Jesus was really shameful for the demons. Let me try to spell this out for you. I was trying to think of a passage, like what can I show? And God led me to Acts chapter 19. If you remember Acts chapter 19, Paul was in Ephesus. He was doing all sorts of incredible miracles. And much like when God does those things, where the Holy Spirit is doing something, there's always counterfeits of it. And so there were Jewish exorcists that were trying to perform miracles in the name of Jesus because they saw Paul perform miracles in the name of Jesus. I mean, this was at a time where Paul was, they were grabbing hankies and aprons and taking them out. And just because they would touch the Apostle Paul, other people were getting healed. They're like, we need to get in on some of this. And so there was a certain priest named Sceva, Jewish priest. He had seven sons, and they decided they were going to toy with the spiritual world and try to cast demons out and do all these things like they saw Paul doing. And in Acts chapter 19, verse 15, as these priests were doing this, the evil spirit spoke up out of the man they were trying to cast the demon out of, and here's what he said. The evil spirit answered these men and said to them, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? In other words, I know Jesus. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know Paul. His identity is totally rooted in Jesus. Who the heck are you? In other words, I know that I have to submit to the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I have to submit to those who are identified with the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also know I don't have to submit to those who don't know him. Who are you? And they didn't really have an answer. So check out verse 16. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them. There's seven of them. Leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, can you imagine this? Do demons have power? Yes. I mean, this demon had enough power to take seven full-grown men, strip them naked, subdue them until all these guys were like running out, fleeing like, oh my gosh, this demon's so powerful. That's what happened when non-believers tried to mess with the authority of Jesus Christ without having that authority. Here's what happened on the cross. Jesus Christ made every single demon in the world flee just like that. He didn't put down seven demons. He put them all down. He disarmed them. There is no authority Satan has over your life. The reason you feel he might have is because he's a liar. And he will tell you he has authority over your life. The only way you can give him authority over your life is if you relinquish authority to him. He has no authority in your life. He can't have authority in your life unless you as a believer say, I'm going to believe the lie and I want to live out the lie. And when you do, you can put yourself into bondage under his leadership, but you don't need to. And if you are under his bondage, you don't need to stay there. Well, let me make it crystal clear. For some of you who are believers, you're young, you're dating, you want to find the right spouse, but you've listened to the lie of the enemy that says this, there's no virgins out there. You're not going to meet somebody who's sexually pure. You're not going to meet the right person. You need to play the field. And so you've listened to the lie. You gave Satan the authority to do that. You've now played the field. Now you're in bondage because now he's lying to you and he's telling you this. You're used goods. You're no good. You'll never meet somebody good. You'll never meet somebody pure. There's no good Christian gal for you. No good Christian man for you would ever put up with someone like that. You're in bondage. And so when he lies to you like that, then he tries to keep kicking you down. But you don't have to stay there. You just come right back to the cross and say, nope, that's not who I am. And I did sin and I was wrong, but I know I'm completely complete in Christ and I am holy and I'm righteous and I'm good. And Jesus, from this moment on, I want to do it your way. And you can kick him to the curb. Not because you fight him, not because you bind him and cast him out and do all these different funky things, but because you believe the truth of the gospel. You have current victory in Christ. Why is this important? Because for most believers, they think this, there's future victory. I know when I get to heaven and it's all going to work out, I'm this. Here's what present victory is. I presently right now am more than a conqueror in Jesus. And here's the reality. God wants you to live from a position of victory, not for victory. If I'm living to fight the devil so I can be free, it's different than I'm living free because I already have victory over the devil. Guys, I'm telling you, if you struggle with drinking or sexuality or swearing or your identity when you look in the mirror and you feel like you're lousy and you're no good or there's besetting sins that come, you can try to practice changing them for the rest of your life and it won't work. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, how do you know? It hasn't worked yet, has it? Or you can live under the freedom of Christ in his shed blood and in your new identity and in your complete sufficiency and your comprehensive forgiveness in your current victory, saying, I am free in him and I look to the Lamb and he's the one who takes my sins away. That's who I am in Christ. It's a whole different way of living. 1 John 3:8 tells us one of the reasons why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. They've been destroyed. And one day he will ultimately throw him into the lake of fire.
Praise God.
I mean, I can't wait for that day. I mean, if I never get Super Bowl tickets again, if I never get to go see a championship game, I am yearning for the day more than any other thing to see when God the Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit cast him into the lake of fire. And at that day, we will look upon him and be like, that was it? That was the one. There'll be the biggest cheer you've ever heard as he gets thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. Amen?
I can't wait either.
We need to live with the victory that we have in him. Church, if you've trusted in Christ, you have everything you need. Church, if you've trusted in Christ, you have a new identity. You're connected to Christ with everything you need. Church, if you've trusted in Christ, all your sins, past, present, and future, big ones, small ones, middle ones, they're all forgiven. Church, if you believe in Christ, you already have the victory. I mean, I've said it before. I mean, I'm a sports fan. I like watching games. I mean, when I'm watching one of my teams play in the middle of a game and I don't know the outcome because I'm watching it live, I'm sweating, I'm pacing, I'm moving, I'm wringing my hands. It's different to watch it 3 weeks after the game's over when I already know my team won. We won the state championship by 3 points my senior year in high school. With 4 seconds to go, my friend blocked a field goal. We won 29-26. I remember at the time where I was on the 38-yard line, kneeling down, even as a non-believer, praying that God would give us the victory. I was sweating. I was nervous. I've seen that play hundreds of times since then. He blocks it every time. We've won every single time I watched. You see what I'm trying to say? Christians, when you're under the Lordship of Christ, you win every single time. You're completely forgiven, completely sufficient, and your identity is totally in Jesus. If you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, or you say, I've never really heard stuff like this before, here's what you're hearing. You're hearing the gospel. The good news of salvation is not that you get saved and do good things. The good news of salvation is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That God, through his Son, wants to come and establish his life in and through you and forgive you and give you everything you need, and all that you're looking for is in him. And then, church, it's this. What did the Holy Spirit show you this morning that you agree with, but maybe as you agree with, you're not seeing lived out in your life? That you don't live from a position of victory, that you don't think it's just in Jesus alone, that maybe you're not trusting Jesus enough in his identity to do his work. Maybe you think there's sins that aren't forgiven. And what is it you need to own today? Because by owning them and looking to the Lamb, that's where you find life and find life in his name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we pray? Lord Jesus, we come before you right now because we believe that you're alive and active. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, here's how you can pray. Lord Jesus, I'm done with religion and I'm done with performance. And I'm here today because I recognize I'm a sinner and I'm in need of your grace. I believe you died on the cross and were buried and that you rose from the dead. I believe you're alive. And right now I confess with my mouth for you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I'm giving you all my sin and I want to receive all your righteousness. Lord, there's many of us here who believe that truth. But Lord, through your Spirit today, you showed us something about an aspect of the gospel that you wanted us to own in a fresh new way. Lord, do a work in our lives. Help us own who you are and help us look to you, the one who has forgiven us completely and our identity rests totally in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you shared that prayer just now with Pastor Jeff, but you still have questions about what a life with Jesus really means, or you'd simply like to talk with someone here at Brave, email us today, hello@bravechurch.co. We'd love to hear from you and offer you support as you begin your walk of faith. You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub. Today was the third and final part of a message titled Lordship Benefits, and the seventh message in our series on Colossians called Focused. So if you need to catch up on earlier messages, or you'd like to know more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry here at Brave, visit bravemedia.online. And if you value these biblical teachings and share our passion for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, consider making a one-time donation to support the ministry. Your financial gift of any amount helps us continue producing and distributing these programs so we can reach new listeners with the life-giving truth of God's Word. You can give your gift today by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can also send a check in the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Again, that's Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're in the Denver area, join us this Sunday for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster, or join us right from home by hopping on our live stream. For details and directions to stream or attend services, go to bravemedia.online and scroll to the bottom, clicking the button labeled Brave Church. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Tomorrow we begin a new lesson about common spiritual practices that actually do more harm than good. Join us for this insightful message next time. right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.